Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Come on. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas. I am so excited about bringing you a program today. This program, from my perspective, is a program that actually deals with one of the serious issues of life. Is there somebody out there that you need to forgive, but you haven't quite been able to do it? Have you been in a conversation with someone that brings up something from 50 years ago, and they've not been able to let it go yet? Well, today in the studio, we have Dr. Ben Gray, and he is going to give us some techniques on how to let things go and also tell us why it is so difficult to do that. In just a moment, we will be back with Dr. Gray. Today, this program is being sponsored by the West Texas Tribune, Real News, Local News at westtexastribune.org, and also Floyd Miller Investments, helping individuals make wise money decisions. For a free, no-obligation consultation, you may call 325-676-0138. Dr. Gray, welcome to the program today.
Oh, Floyd, I've been looking forward to this moment. I could hardly sleep last night.
Well, I am so glad to have you here, because we're going to be talking about one of the big issues in life. I think maybe for everyone, probably everybody has struggled with this at some level, and that's the ability to forgive. And I think you said it's connected to neuroscience. Oh, okay. Well, I want to get into the neuroscience part of it, but Dr. Gray, would you tell us a little bit about your background, and particularly your educational background, and maybe anything else you want to share?
Oh, my. The only people who want to know my educational background is my mother, and she's passed. And so I just simply say that I taught at a university level for several years, 15, in Texas and Ohio. I served in educational services at Hendrick Medical Center, psychiatric services at Woods facility when it was active here in town, doing outcome research to ask questions about what did you get out of, you know, your services in psychiatry. And then I found myself on a different path I had never expected. And that was dealing with trauma. And my mother told me her story before she passed about being traumatized as a child. And there were no sources available. She lived on a farm, pastor she couldn't talk to, you know, school counselors. Silence was my greatest ally, just to listen to Mom. And upon her death, I asked, what could I do to create a legacy for my mother? And I began to do research and found that there were a number of women who lived outside Abilene that I interviewed. I had more stories than I ever expected. And I came away just speechless with what I heard. And that led me to a therapist who worked also with those. And she says, please consider doing research on neuroscience before your support group is finished. And so I did. I did a lot of TED Talks, listened to TED Talks, enormous amount of literature, and came away with that ministry, which is active today. And so it's in that research, and I'll say up front with you that I am a meta researcher. I am not a neuroscientist. My degree is in interpersonal communication, counseling, psychology. But I'm not a neuroscientist, but God gave me this wonderful gift of asking questions and being curious.
Okay, well, why did you decide to tackle this thing about people having challenges forgiving one another?
Yep. Great question, Floyd. One of the units that I'm writing on to help women overcome their trauma is forgiveness. And so I'm doing a common literature search on the web. I Google the topic, and there's this enormous amount of information comes up. So I get all the quotes and phrases and one-liners that people have, and I put that together. And I come across an article, and that article was really intriguing. And I thought, I wonder what that's about. Well, I opened the article, and there were some pictures in there that diagrammed what the brain goes through when it tries to forgive. I spent a lot of hours reading the article trying to uncode it. And once I got the grasp of it, I thought, wow, what an incredible piece of literature. And the implications of being able to forgive became personal to me and personal to my marriage, personal to my family, and those that I know. So it went from just a kind of, I'm curious about that, to I see some possible implications of how this can help. And so I presented this to ladies, and they were overwhelmed. They were taken back by it. In fact, I meet with them tonight. But just to let you know how difficult this is, I'm going to read you the title of the article.
Okay, that's great.
I mean, and you'll see what I'm up against here. Now, it says, the cognitive and emotional processes that eradicates rumination and their adverse effects, how the brain heals emotional wounds, it is the functional neuroanatomy of forgiveness. Now, that's the title of the article. Written by a guy's name I can't even pronounce. And all of that is in there, and I'm thinking, holy cow, Buffalo Bob, what in the world am I going to do with this? And so I just began to carve it out one piece at a time, and it began to make sense. So what I did was, to make it easier to understand, I took technical terms and made them into layman's terms and just make it as a common expression, because nobody in the world wants to hear about precuneus, anterior parietal, dorsal prefrontal.
That sounds like something that's terminal.
I ain't going to sell popcorn, man.
No, it's not.
So I thought, this is good stuff. So what would happen if I gave this new terms and wrote it in such a way that it could be a fable? And so it's like a common everyday experience of a dialogue within the brain. These characters are talking to each other. And I thought, wouldn't that be fun? So I finished writing the fable, and it all points to the cognitive and emotional processes eradicates rumination and adverse effects. But the thing that came up on the screen, though, for the search was forgiveness. The tag hooked on to the word forgiveness, and the rest of the stuff comes along. I don't need to know the rest of the stuff. Just tell me about forgiveness. And I thought, this is difficult, but it is important.
Well, I'm thinking that if you talking with women that have been traumatized, that's a pretty serious word there, that means something happened to them that was not good.
Yes.
And so they might be struggling with forgiveness.
They're struggling with the entire brain function, and especially with forgiving a perpetrator. It gets complicated. So it's with that background, with the moments that we have, can I talk to you about a simple way to look at this?
Yes. simple is good. Break it down.
And I wish you could see Floyd's expression. He has his hands open and is like, yes, come on. All right. And I've anticipated, since I'm doing this over a podcast, I need your imagination. And so it's like this. If you take a sheet of paper and you put a line from left to right in the middle of the page, that's the first step. So get your pen and pencil and something to write with.
I'm tracking with you over here.
Make it come across like that. That's it. You're halfway. Now, at the bottom of this, I want you to draw three arrows coming up from the bottom up to the line itself. Bingo, right there. There's one. Okay. You got another coming. There's two. And you got another, three. Now, at the very top of this, you're going to draw two arrows coming from the top down to meet in the middle of the page. One. You got it. Were you an art major?
No way.
Well, nor am I. We have something in common, Floyd. Okay, so we got three arrows coming up. We've got two arrows going down. Now, the line that goes across, write the word status quo. Status quo. Now, somewhere on that line, you're going to write the word captain. Captain. This is the captain's territory. He's deciding whether or not this line is going to go up or down, this bar across the middle right there.
Okay.
You got three forces pushing up, you got two forces coming down. All right, now here's how it works. I'm not going to use posterior cingulate, anterior cingulate, dorsal prefrontal. I ain't going there. What I am going to do is give them different names. Okay. Names are going to make sense. Now, in the middle of page is the, we've used the word captain. Captain is the one who's going to make decisions about whether the line of status quo is going to move up or down. Okay? He is the decision maker.
Okay.
All decisions in the brain come from the captain. And nothing escapes the captain because he's the decision maker. He's a captain.
Okay.
Now, we got three forces on the bottom that are saying, let's just say this, that the captain is sitting in a chair and he says, you know, I wonder what happened to my friend Mark. You know, it's been years since I've said anything to Mark, and I think it's time I need to revisit my relationship with Mark. I've missed him. And then I remember, oh, boy, he and I had a knockdown dragout. But the first voice that comes to me comes from the three arrows beneath, and one of these is called Walt, W-A-L-T. The second arrow coming straight up is called Sage. Sage. The third arrow coming up is called Harmony. Now, I will tell you about these guys. They're incredible. So when I say, I think I need to forgive Mark and just move on, immediately within a nanosecond, these three forces meet me at that line of status quo. And they're all saying, and I call these the trio. This is my trio. My trio comes to my brain and it says to the captain, it speaks to me and it says, Ben, it's a great idea. I think this has gone on too long. It's time to let it go. which is a definition of forgiveness. In the language, forgiveness means to let go. I think it's time to let that stuff go. You've been around too long.
Seem like some pretty good guys.
Hey, so exactly. Exactly. And so immediately upon hearing these guys come up to me from that compelling force from the bottom, it says, do it. Yes, absolutely. At the same time, there are two forces that are happening in my brain, and that's the two at the top. Are you ready for that?
Yes, let's. Who are they?
Well, one of them is called Amos, A-M-O-S, Amos. And the other one is Flash. I've got Flash and Amos. Now, as soon as I had heard from the guys to saying yes, yes, and yes, within a nanosecond, they come up and say, Ben, you don't want to go there. You do not want to get into forgiveness with Mark.
Do they give you any reason why you don't want to do that?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's where we're going in your story. And so I will tell you about what they're telling me, but let me tell you what their functions are. Let me go back down to Walt. Remember Walt is in the middle?
Yeah.
Walt's incredible. Walt has this incredible gift of imagination, possibilities, color. It's like, instead of wearing a white shirt all the time, you wear a purple shirt. It's like possibilities. Possibility thinking. Color. Confetti. Balloons. And it is, let's have a party.
Okay.
Okay. Now, over on another arrow described as sage. Sage is in charge of wisdom and discernment. It's more than a risk-reward analysis. It is a deep-seated gift. It's in our brain. Sage's function is to capture wisdom and put it away for you. And it grows in wisdom. Anytime we hear something that's wise, it'll go to Sage. Sage loves to collect that stuff.
Okay.
I mean, that's his job, is going around looking for smart stuff. And he's looking for always good stuff that he can quote and pull out for you.
We all need a friend like Sage.
Oh, come on. Do yeah, I ever?
Yeah. We all need a friend like
okay,
Sage.
Okay, so the other one over there is Harmony. And Harmony's function is to create balance in the brain. Balance. It's harmonizing our rational and our emotional. When we get out of kilter, if there's too much rationale, harmony has a way of balancing. It's like wings or the gyroscope on a plane. Mm-hmm. Let you know where the wings are going.
Right, right.
If it
yeah.
gets out of kilter one way, you turn the wheel and it gets back the other. So harmony is like helping us to find our balance. So we're not out of kilter all the time. When we're mad and angry, we get out of kilter.
Absolutely.
I mean, we quit thinking. And that's a phrase in neuroscience, and that is our under trauma, it hijacks the front part of the brain. Trauma hijacks our reasoning ability. And if anybody's ever had rage before, can't think, went out the window. That's because trauma sets in.
Wow.
And overcomes our ability to think. Now, but harmony is balance. Walt is imagination, and Sage is wisdom. Okay?
Okay.
Now, that's a description of the compelling force to say yes. All right. Now, you recall that there was a voice that came in from the top, and these two guys are interwoven together. These parts of the brain are stuck together in the mid portion of our brain, and I'm going to call them Flash and Amos.
Okay.
Amos is in charge of anger and emotion, negative energy. He's the one that wants to fight. He's the fighter. For purposes of this discussion, Flash only has one job, and that is to take pictures of those events that were traumatic. The two of these are joined together in the brain. Actually, they call the amygdala and the hippocampus. And if you look on an anatomical chart, you see they're fused together. With one, you get the other. Okay? Hmm. Now, so what happens is, as captain of the brain, I find myself having to make a tough decision. On one hand, I've got the three amigos, my three buddies, that come up and say, yeah, man, come on, let's do that. I got two portions of the brain that are saying, they don't want to go there. As captain, I stand in the middle. See that line right there?
Yeah.
I've got to make a decision whether I'm going to accept or reject. I'm going to accept one and reject the other. And this is where there was a eureka moment for me. All my life, when I think about letting go, forgiving, the voice of anger and the images that go with it, I defer to them immediately. And therefore, they win the argument.
So, two guys that not very positive at all, how do they overpower these three guys down here?
Oh, they do that because I allow them to take control over that moment of forgiveness. I allow them to have the power to be exercised. I make a choice, and some will call this free will. Others may call this an existential choice. But ultimately, the captain is the one who's going to decide which voice is going to pay attention to. It's clearly a choice.
So at the end of the day, and I don't want to minimize anything that's been said, yeah, but at the end of the day, the person that has been traumatized do still have the power to make a decision. Is that right?
Only if I choose to give it power. That trauma only has power if, as captain, I allow it to have power.
Wow. Now, in that the captain is making a choice, I guess either choice that the captain make is going to have some consequences.
Come on.
Some
exactly.
consequences, right?
Implications, consequences of that choice.
Okay, so first of all, what might it look like if Amos, if the captain goes along with Amos and Flash? What can the captain expect going forward?
What the captain can expect is any time that there's a possibility of forgiving, I'm going to defer down there to the cave. Where the Amos and the Flash are, I don't have to think about that anymore. I just give it up and say, you're absolutely right. There's too much to work through here. And part of my brain says, you don't want to go there. You don't want to take up the energy, and you don't want to go there. And then I'll say, okay, you're right. All right, everybody go home. And we're back to status quo, and I didn't forgive. I didn't participate in an exercise, a neurological exercise of forgiving. And that is exactly what happened to me about 3 months ago. And are you interested in knowing how I resolved it?
Yes.
Yes. Must it be a great time to take a commercial break and sell soap suds or something? Okay, here's the deal. This happened to me. I'm reading the article and I'm seeing it unfold in front of me, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm at this confrontation with myself, whether to accept the goodness that's offered or flip into my convenient zone of being unforgiving. Does that make any sense so far?
So far, yes.
Okay, so what I did was I stopped. I told everybody to go home. I wasn't going to make a decision about forgiving or not forgiving. Everybody go home. I need to think about this. So once I saw this article, I see these forces taking place, it's like, I need a timeout. They need a timeout to go back to your corner. I need to think about this. And the more I thought about it, I raised a question. And my question was, I know what the duo bring me, Amos and Flash. I know what they bring me. I've seen that all my life. But I don't know about those three guys that came to me. I don't even know who they are. I don't know what they do. But, you know, I'm curious. I want to know who these guys are and what do they have to offer. And so I have a little chit-chat with these portions of the brain. We sit down and we have coffee. And I say, okay, guys, I have not paid attention to you in my life. You've got my ear. Who are you and what can you do for me? And they become excited because for the first time in their neurological history, they're being called on. And their excitement becomes contained because they're going to have a chance to speak to me in a way they've never spoken before. Sage is the wise one, and he's the one to speak. And he says, we wondered what took you so long to ask about our gifts. You don't know where they are. You don't know what they are. But we've gotten turned down all your life. And you have been drawn to the negative and the power of fear.
Wow.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. So
Sage is the one talking now, and Sage says, what you don't know because you haven't asked. You ask not, you have not. Have we ever heard of that before?
I read about that in a book somewhere.
you know, you hadn't asked, and we can't give, and you hadn't knocked on the door, and we're not about to shove the door open to force ourselves on you. You have free will, Ben Gray. And now you're asking, and they scoot up to the table. They said, I want you to know more about us and what we have to offer you. Well, come on, tell me. And he said, well, first of all, these are gifts that you've had all your life, and you haven't chose to use them in relation to forgiveness. You use the wisdom in other cases, but not in the case of forgiveness. And you have given into the dark, the shadows of your life. I'd like to introduce you now to my two compadres who come prepared for forgiveness. Every time you come to this path, I'd like for you to meet my buddies, Walt and Harmony. And I want you to know what they do for you. I said, I have my cup of coffee, and I have plenty of time. I want to know more about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, I want you to meet Walt. Walt is in charge of imagination. Walt is in charge of considering possibilities for you. It would go like this, Ben. If you were to reinstill your relationship with Mark, can you consider what that might be? Your friendship restored. Can you imagine that? The love you had for Mark? Can you consider that possibility of reconciliation? I'd like that. You can have it. You can activate that gift, Ben. We're here to offer it to you. I said, is there any charge for this? No, this is free service, man. We have been nestled in your brain all these years, and we've been dormant until you ask us to come.
Wow.
Now, I said, I noticed there are three of you, so tell me about your other buddy here,
yeah.
Harmony. Tell me. He says, well, I'm here to help your body relax, to help you find a balance between your rational and emotion, and to help you become balanced again. Because every time you become angry and you don't want to forgive, your body comes high in emotion and gets low in rationale. And when you stay there, your body's out of balance. When you forgive, I want you to understand that the moment that you enter into forgiveness, the wings of your plane will come balanced and you can relax. You can't relax when you're unbalanced. So my gift to you in harmony is you'll find harmony with the tension that you've been experiencing.
You know, you were saying that, it reminded me of what someone said that's in the same field that you operate in. And they said that emotions will trump common sense every time.
Oh, exactly. That is exactly what takes place. Yes. And that is the brain gets hijacked because of intense emotion. Now, tell me your phrase again. What was your phrase? I'm going to write that down.
Emotions trumps common sense every time. And this was from a speech called The Brain Thing.
Is exactly right. The second word is interesting to me. It trumps.
So I guess it's kind of like the trump card. I mean,
emotion trumps rationale. Think on that comment you just gave me.
Yeah.
Does not rage and anger trump rational thinking?
Yes.
I could make this political, but I'm not. I think anybody listening to this is going to make the connection between emotion trumps, takes over, and other languages, it hijacks the rational part of our brain.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to make sure that it's not, we're going to make sure it's not political because.
I just leave the metaphor alone.
Yeah, yeah.
For those who have ears, let them hear.
Let them hear. Yes. So, I'm still wondering. I mean, Sage, Walt, and Harmony, they are some great guys. I mean, they are great guys, and just make me wonder when we think about maybe elders and friends and people that have been trying to get this message through for years. And it sounds so good compared to what's up at the top. So why do we just...
Why would I choose stupidity over these wonderful gifts that God gives me? Why would I do that? And I just simply say, that's stupid thinking. That's stupid thinking.
And is there people that I guess to some degree they want to forgive, but they just
absolutely
they just have a hard time pushing themselves.
Well, okay, the answer is yes, and it's like here's a test. Are you ready for the test, Floyd?
Yes, yes.
Think about someone that you're at an impasse with. Imagine what they look like. Get their picture in front of you. Now imagine what it would be like if you found the best in them and you weren't troubled by them anymore. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a restored relationship?
I think that's probably some of the greatest potential that's been...
Bingo.
Some of the greatest Bingo. Potential that's been missed.
Bingo. Bingo. Now, the other gift is sage, which is giving you wisdom. And it's like, how would you go about to do this? That's what sage is. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help your brain to get over this impasse that you're with right now. And it says, Captain, you're not alone here. My job is to help you figure out an approach you can take. So these gifts that we have, you have right here, these three, can help you get on the other side. And I'm going to help you with a strategy to do that. And when you do that, I want you to sense your body becoming more relaxed. And that is a message that you're on the right track. Also, at this point, there's a wonderful chemical that kicks in from our brain to let you know you're on the right track. So not only going to feel good mentally, you're going to feel good chemically. Is that incredible?
That is incredible. And of course, we're not going to mention any names, but do you have a couple of case studies or situations that you could tell us about where somebody was in that unforgiving mode, but Sage, Walt, and Harmony came to the rescue?
Yeah. Well, in my group with ladies.
Yes.
They go through this imagination, and I talk about the forces that are saying no, no, and giving images. See, that's the deal. Flash brings photographs of that event as evidence of what stupid things went on, and the emotion that goes with it, the fear and anger. Put that up into your face so you can't see the joy on the other side. You got it?
Right.
So once I describe this and they begin to say, I forgive so-and-so, and they can envision that and go through the idea of receiving wisdom to pursue it and having the body to relax, I've had a woman to immediately say, freedom. I am free. Wow. I've never experienced this before.
I want to ask another question about forgiveness. Now, if someone forgives someone, does that mean that that person did not do anything wrong to them? That person did not hurt them?
Whether that incident is real or imagined, it's still harmful to the brain because it's repeated. Repeated means ruminate. Now, I want to remember that I told you that really, that long definition?
Right.
All right. I said eradicates, cognitive emotional process eradicates rumination. It eliminates, does that not what it say? Says it eradicates rumination. So once a person is forgiven, the thing doesn't cycle again and again and again and again and again. Well, that's where we get toxic thinking about stupid stuff that's in our brain that goes round and round and round and round and round again.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to ask it just a little different. So if I forgive someone, which that would definitely be the proper thing to do, does that mean that we're going to be buddies and that we're going to golf together and that we're going out to eat together? Does it necessarily mean that?
It has the potential to restore you because you're reconciled.
Mm-hmm. So it might mean that.
Why not? What stands in the way?
I'm just asking a question.
Well, what stands in the way of these two characters, the amygdala, or call Amos, and Flash? And they have power. Fear has so much power over our emotions. Fear has so much power over our thinking. cognitive and emotional. That's the definition. Cognitive and emotional process eradicates rumination with the and their adverse effect. That's what forgiveness is.
So people have to get by Amos.
You got to deal with Amos.
Amos and Flash.
You got to deal with Amos. Well, and that would really be section two, our second time we get together.
Oh, okay.
And I wrote a fable on this, and it is coming to grips with making a trip to the cave.
And is that, say that again, coming to grips?
It's coming to grips. That's what the captain's got to do. Is, and then he says, but get this, just think about it. After the explanation from the trio, wisdom, imagination, and balance. How good I feel about that. And immediately I say, I'm ready to make a decision. If I've canceled you all these years, I don't want to go there anymore. I can say you're going to be in my front seat. I want you guys next to me. And in fairness, I need to go see the guys in the dungeon, the boys in the cave, and I need to have a little chit-chat with them to let them know that I ain't going back with them anymore.
All right. Well, I mean, this has been, to me, this has been an amazing conversation, Dr. Gray, and I think that it can help someone. I'm glad that you broke it down a little bit from that long definition.
It's like drinking milk of magnesia.
Right.
Nobody wants to
do castor
that.
Oil or something like that. But but the way you broke that down, it was it's wonderful. Do you
Thank
have
you.
Any closing remarks to make today?
Absolutely. The bottom line is I make is there is hope. Absolutely. I've discovered the neurological breakthrough of how our brain is designed to help us and to see the goodness on the other side and the author of our goodness. There is hope. There really is.
Well, you know, as long as we have hope, we have something to live for, we have something to strive for, something to look forward to. And speaking of looking forward, I'm going to be looking forward to part two of this, Dr. Gray. Thank you for being here today.
You're so kind.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today. Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA/SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.